individuals, two artists who have produced cutting-edge theater in Los Angeles for a long time. They have a world premiere coming to the Odyssey Theater, so please stay tuned to Arts and Review. And welcome. This is your host, Julio Martinez, coming to you since 1988. Yes, back in the other century. And I am continuing with my profile of Los Angeles theater, the most active producer of theater in the U.S. Yes, we outproduce New York and Philadelphia and Chicago combined. So I have a new play, and I have two artists who have been very vital in theater here in Los Angeles. And I want to welcome them now, Mr. John Fleck and David Schweitzer. Are you there, sirs?
Yes.
Hola, Julio.
Hola. Mr. Fleck, you are doing a show, a world premiere at the Odyssey Theater that I would say is rather topical. It states, quote, an outrageous musical satire that reflects our national panic in the face of the pandemic. It's called It's Alive, It's Alive. Can you tell me how long have you been working on this?
We've been working on it for about 3 days, and we're just hoping we... No, I'm teasing. we have been working on this monster since probably May of 2020.
Oh.
And David Schweitzer, I'll let him pipe in here, but I blame this all on David Schweitzer, actually. It was his idea. He pitched it to Beth Hogan at the Odyssey Theater that we create a special event in August of 2020 to perform, because this was during the midst of the pandemic and the whole political turmoil going on, that we create a special event in the parking lot of the Odyssey Theater, since we couldn't perform inside because of the pandemic. But anyways, it kept getting played, and it was to celebrate the resiliency of theater. You know, it's alive, it's alive. You know, you can't keep theater down. But anyways, it kept getting postponed and postponed. And finally, the baby is going to be born here at the Odyssey Theater. And we hope she still has a voice and still has some legs to run on. So
now, you did a 4-week workshop production last September. Has the show evolved much?
Well, yes, it has.
Very encouraging.
David, take it away.
Yeah, last fall the workshop was very encouraging because we didn't really know. I mean, people were still very apprehensive about even coming and sitting indoors to watch something, even with masks on, and you know, not that many people gathered together, and all the safety measures. And the piece really is a lethal kind of pointed clown show about COVID, about the whole COVID phenomenon and the ramifications of it. And so, you know, could people laugh at this? Are they, you know, was it too soon? Was it too late? What was it? And we found that those people who came, I mean, some people were scared to come and went like, thank you very much. We're thrilled you're doing something, but, you know, we don't feel comfortable coming yet. Those that came, the response was extraordinary. I mean, it was like we were giving them an opportunity to kind of blow off all of this tension and all of this fear. They found it hilarious, and this sort of taboo subject finally talked about in this way and sung about and, you know, everything else, all the theatricality of it really worked well. I mean, John's an amazing performer, so that helped. But what we found out was that it really, there's something, you know, exciting about approaching this subject, even in the thick of it. So now it's later. Now everyone's even more exhausted by the twists and turns of the pandemic. And, you know, we're going even further. I mean, it's even more provocative, but we're pretty confident that the audience is going to respond in a very intense way.
Now, you open February 19th. You're going to perform through March 20th. So you're still in rehearsal right now, aren't you?
David's in New York City, yeah. And I'm here in L.A.
Yeah, so you're in rehearsal long distance.
We're doing a lot
we've been
of
Zooming.
Zooming. I mean, it kind of helps that we've worked together for so many years, because there, you know, sometimes we have to thrash around a little bit to find out what we need to do. And other times we just like finish each other's sentences. I mean, when you've made the kind of theater work we do, which is, you know, sort of its own thing, you know, combination of vaudeville and performance art and experimental playwriting and music theater and everything all thrown together, you know, you have an instinct. I mean, I don't think a normal director and writer performer, I don't recommend long distance rehearsing. And I'm flying out to LA in a few days, and we're going to be in the room with our collaborators and musicians and everybody, you know, very soon. But I think John and I, you know, somehow all the experience we've had together allows us to, you know, take a few shortcuts maybe.
Well, you know, Julio, you say you've been doing your show since 1988, and that's the first year that David and I worked together creating our first collaborative show called Psycho Opera. We did it down at the old Wallen Boyd Theater in 88.
Oh, yes.
So this is like our bookend of our kind of historical legacy together. But like David said, I don't know, it just flows so easily. You know, it's not a typical writer, director, actor kind of relationship. It's a symbiotic relationship for sure.
Well, it sort of reads like a provocative Busby Berkeley cabaret-style musical. You have a music director, Jon Snow, on stage, an upright piano, and singer-dancers, Kyle G. Fuller and Tamara Carino. And you have a bass player, Jon Snow on upright bass. He's got Peter on piano.
Right.
You also have a drummer.
No, but we were hoping, we hear you play good percussions, we're hoping you can go out long and come.
Would you like to sit in?
Well, it would be on guitar, but that would be interesting. And you have singer-dancers, Kyle G. Fuller and Tomiko Carina. So you do have a mini Busby Berkeley background there.
Well, we just don't have the camera shooting from up above down below, but it is a wild, wacky cabaret performance event. I don't know how else to describe it.
Did your pianist compose the music?
David, why don't you take that?
Yeah, the music comes from all over the place. There's not much, if any, I think that's totally original. John, in a lot of his pieces, sort of prowls through all different kinds of music from different eras and uses the songs to, you know, punctuate different moments in a surprising way. And, you know, he's also a great vocalist, so to hear his interpretation of some of these songs is you know, an event in itself. But, you know, the great thing about Jon Snow is that he's, you know, he leads music groups and he plays all different kinds of music, and he's very smart about music. So he picked right up on the kind of wildly eclectic vibe you know, joined the carnival as music director. It's all, you know, it's quite intimate, and at the same time, it's very kind of, you know, helter-skelter and wild. I mean, it's the bear stage. You know, we make fun of the fact of, like, where's the set? I mean, it's a lot of fun to watch, but there's a level on which it's constantly, we're constantly examining, like, how to do this, you know, hybrid art form. Jon talks directly to the audience quite a bit. You know, it's very fresh in its structure.
It's somewhat of an homage to Grotowski's Poor Theater. You know, I mean, the set is like nothing. You know, it's all about the relationship between the performers and the audience. So it's you know, living theater, so to speak, carrying on that tradition. We just hope that, you know, with this Omicron, we hope in 3 weeks people, you know, feel good, confident to come, you know, and you know, and they could always get buy tickets on odysseytheater.com. I was told they'll tell people to buy their tickets, so yeah. We're hoping we can get a nice audience there.
Now you're performing Saturdays at 8 p.m., Sundays at 5 p.m. You're running through the 20th. I'll tell you, the Odyssey Theater is located at 2055 South Sepulveda Boulevard, near in L.A., 90025. And you can call for tickets at 310-477-2055, extension 2, or you can go online to www.odysseytheater.com. And you can get in.
You are the best PR person in the world. Thank you.
Right. Plenty of parking, too. Easy parking.
Yes, easy parking.
great.
Well, I've followed your career, you know, throughout L.A. I used to be a critic for Daily Variety. And I have covered some of your shows in the past. David, you've also had quite a career directing opera in New York and here in L.A. at Long Beach Opera. Isn't that correct?
Yes, I had a great collaborative relationship with Long Beach Opera, which led to my being invited to do opera, you know, all over the country, and all over the world. I mean, directing operas is kind of heaven for a director. There's so many great things you can do, and the response—the combination of the music and the performance—and you know, you can just get people crazy. Let's face it. I mean, you can get people in a state, and I think it's easy zeroing back a little bit. I think those kinds of feelings.
I'm missing you, David. Are you there?
Uh-oh.
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 I'm going to have
Hello?
To talk to you, Jon, a little
Hello?
Bit till David comes back over the air. Jon, you've just done a play at the Odyssey Theater, Blacktop Highway. Jon, are you there? Am I alone here? excuse our... bit of telephone misalliance here at KPFK. We've had a few problems with the phones, but Jon Fleck just recently performed at the Odyssey in Blacktop Highway, which is listed hilariously as a gothic horror screen played on one man's body. I missed that, but I would have liked to have seen that. And when they come back on, we will continue. They're both two of the more prolific people in L.A. theater. I've been aware of them since I first got involved in theater in the mid-70s. David has directed everyone, including Justin Tanner, who I was his publicist way back in the 70s when he started in the Cass Theater. So they've had a long and interesting theater. By the way, why don't I do my little commercial for KPFK with my theme song? This is Julio Martinez. You are listening to me over KPFK, Pacifica Radio Showcase Station in L.A., over 90.7 FM. If you're listening to us in Santa Barbara, you're listening to us over 98.7 FM. And if you need to listen to us live, you can hear us streamed around the world over kpfk.org. Now, let us see if I have my guest back. Are you there?
Hey, yes. Sorry, we got disconnected.
Oh, are you there, David, too? Well, I'll have to talk to you, John.
Oh, God.
So
someday we'll be back to normal. We can come visit you in your studio.
Oh, that would be wonderful. I remember writing about you because you were so newsworthy when you were part of the NEA4.
That's right. When four performance artists were defunded by the National Endowment for the Arts because their work was too, I guess you could say, controversial. You know.
Yes. But you took it all the way to the Supreme Court and won. That's good.
We did. We went to the Supreme Court. We won. And then Bill Clinton, who was president at the time, actually decided to appeal the case. It was I feel like he was throwing a little bone to the conservatives there. Because and so we won the first case, but we won, we lost the fact that the government can decide not to fund, works of art based on, kind of morality issues, so to speak. And long story short, the National Endowment shortly thereafter discontinued the genre that we had received funding for. It was called the new media, and so they discontinued that. So anyways, some friends got angry at us. They said, you ruined it for all of us, artists, because now we can't get funding. But it had to happen sooner or later.
I'm back online. I'd like to point out, I actually directed Offending Pete.
Blessed that are all the little fishes, right?
Well, that was back in 1990, and here we all are still today.
Boy, aren't we the lucky ones? We're still kicking. Jeez Louise, huh?
Yeah. David, you directed a Justin Tanner play. Which play was that? Are you with me? Or did the name Justin Tanner throw you off the air? John, are you still with me? Well, this is an interesting time. I'm going to have to talk by myself here. David is sort of crisscrossed across this town, directing in almost every theater around and almost every genre around. As you said, he followed John Fleck quite a bit and did direct the play that got John ousted by the NEA when they were titled, he and three other people were titled the NEA4, but they did get back, though it's been a great theatrical history all unto itself. And David has been very active directing people like Ann Magnuson, Michael Sargent, and like the aforementioned Justin Tanner. And he directed Plato's Symposium with the award-winning... Oh, and one actor I really wanted to talk to him about, Glenn Van Italy, who he did a work of his that was amazing. And I did a work of John Claude Van Italy in San Francisco called USA. And their work has been really interesting and profound, and it's great to have them both back working here still in L.A. At the Odyssey Theater. Now how are we doing? Not too...
How?
Oh, John, you're here. Good.
I'm still here, yes.
Oh, I didn't... I thought I'd lost you. I'm sorry.
No, you never lose me. I'll never leave you, Julio.
Now, John, you're doing this work. Do you have other plans for other works?
Other works. Well, you know, I'm working on a little TV show in about a couple months, and after that, me and my partner are taking off for 2 months to... he's never been to Europe. Isn't that something? So we're taking him to Europe, and we're going to do a big road trip. And after that, who knows? Maybe David and I will think of some other concoction to work on.
Right. Meanwhile, hi, I'm back on.
Oh, good.
And meanwhile, he'll be stopping in various European capitals along the way. And
will he be performing?
Performing on, tabletop.
yes. You know, it's funny. We're flying to Berlin, and I remember in 1986, I went to Berlin. I haven't been there since Berlin. But I used to perform on top of bars. I remember the Oranienstrasse bar, tap dancing on top of a bar. God, what I wouldn't do for attention back in the old days.
I join you. I went on a tour, the Capital Tours of Europe with Helen Reddy. And I had a lot of free time, so I took my guitar out and played out in the streets of Berlin.
Oh, how lovely, how lovely.
Yes.
No, it's the perfect town for that.
Oh, yeah. So,
When I think you no longer could hear me, what I was trying to say was that some of the sensations I get in directing opera where I just can't believe how immediate the response is what happens when I work with John, because the relationship he builds up with an audience and the kinds of things that can happen with him on stage with an audience are just unlike anything else. I mean, I'm constantly surprised, and I've known this man for many decades now, so I think an audience can look forward to the same thing.
Well, I know opera lovers are very expressive. They have the loudest bravos on earth.
Oh, God, you said it. Yeah, no, great. Talk about breathless.
What about your plans, David? Do you have other works coming up?
I do. Mostly in the opera area, when everything shut down in the pandemic, of course, a lot of projects went away. But I have a new opera for which, for the first time, I'm also writing the libretto.
Oh.
Based on the UNESCO play, The Rhinoceros.
That's ambitious.
Right. Zero Mostel did the part, and also did a movie of it years ago. It's about a small French town where everybody turns into a rhinoceros, sort of a fascism metaphor, and very crazy and funny, like UNESCO always is. But I'm working with an extraordinary modern composer named Stephen Hartke, and the good thing is, we're going to be able to do it no matter what, because he's the chair of the music school at Oberlin. So they've guaranteed to mount an initial production. So unlike a lot of things that are sort of backed up now, waiting for the support that, you might have been promised in, 2020, This is something that's actually going to happen in a while. So I'm excited about that.
Oh, that's very good. I want to reiterate for the audience who may have not come in at the beginning, but the play we are talking about is called It's Alive, It's Alive. It's an original musical at the Odyssey Theater. It's opening February 19th, with performances continuing through March 20th, Saturdays at 8 p.m., Sundays at 5 p.m. And the Odyssey Theater is located at 2055 South Sepulveda Boulevard. For tickets, call 310-477-2055, extension 2, or you can go online to www.odysseytheater.com. I want to thank you two guys for being on my show, hit and miss as it has sometimes been.
Hey, yeah, Julio, can I say something?
Sure.
You know, It gives me such delight to hear you say the title, It's Alive. It's Alive!
Yeah.
I had it written specifically for that, lowercase, the first one, and then bigger case. So it sounds like the guy in the Frankenstein movie. You know how he went,
Yes.
It's alive! So thank you for recognizing it.
Well, I want to let everyone know that Donna Walker of Pacifica Performance Showcase is upcoming, and her guest is going to be live, Sandra Sing Low. So, yeah. So thank you, guys. I will definitely be at the theater to see your show.
Thank you, Julio.
Thank you. And
absolutely. Thank you so much.
You're quite welcome. And please keep supporting Arts and Review and Pacifica Performance Showcase. We are the Arts and Culture Hour on KPFK every Friday. Now stay tuned for Donna Walker.
It's 9 a.m. Saturday mornings on KPFK, and it's the Earl O'Forey Hutchinson Show. From Los Angeles to New York and all around the world, it's blockbuster news and information on the Earl O'Forey Hutchinson Show, 9 a.m. to 11 Saturday mornings on KPFK.
Welcome to Pacifica Performance Showcase, Arts and Culture, to enlighten, enliven, and educate. I'm your host, Donna Walker, and I'm thrilled to say that my in-studio guest today is Sandra Sing Low, who you may know from her books and her commentary and her one-woman shows and so many things, and of course, Goddess. That goes without saying. And we'll get to that momentarily. I just had a couple of announcements. One is that on LA Theater Works this week, this Sunday night, the 30th of January at 10 p.m., is George Bernard Shaw's You Never Can Tell. And of course, it features an all-star cast, as always. And it's the classic of everything by George Bernard Shaw is classic, and they do that so well, directed by Rosalind Ayers. And so tune in for that this Sunday night at 10. And then another thing I wanted to announce, and this is kind of special. I had interviewed a while back Ben Proudfoot, who's an Oscar-nominated director, and he had a film called The Queen of Basketball. It was a short doc, and as it turns out, it's been shortlisted for the Oscars. And it was a fabulous film about a remarkable woman basketball player, Lucy Harris. She was a pioneering athlete who was a basketball phenomenon back in the 70s. She was the first woman to score a basket in the Olympics. Yes, there was no women's basketball in the Olympics